Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. I should say it's morning here in Winnipeg. It's about 3 a.m. on the morning of September 4th, 2015. I've been looking for an opportunity to record this month's podcast, and there was a very early rainstorm here in Winnipeg, and it woke me up, so I thought this was probably as good a time as any. I hope things are well in your part of the world, or at least as well as they can be. It's quite obvious that things are really stirred up all over the world at this moment, both socially. It's all inclusive. It's socially, politically, weather-wise. The world just seems to be in a lot more turmoil than most of us have experienced in the past. Currently, here in Winnipeg, we're going through the kind of weather that we might normally get in the middle of July. Here it is the beginning of September. So we're having incredibly hot and humid days with wild storms. But of course, that's really nothing compared to the kind of turmoil that's taking place on the borders of Hungary at this time, with Syrian refugees wanting to find refuge somewhere, anywhere. Within our usual stories of existence, these are definitely strange times. I want to thank those who have sent in comments of appreciation over this past month. I didn't have anybody write in to send any questions, so that leaves me free to simply offer whatever comes up in this podcast. I want to thank those who sent in donations. I want to thank those who ordered Budescence through the website. And as always, I want to thank Marcus Fellows for establishing this website in the first place and for continuing to post these podcasts each month. I also want to thank those who have written in to tell me that they really feel that I've missed the essence of life totally. So I appreciate that very much as well. It keeps things real. But as always, in what I'm offering here, I'm saying outright that this is simply for your consideration. I'm not asking anyone to believe it outright. I'm not even saying it's the one true way to look at existence. I'm simply saying that this is one of life's mysterious expressions. And there will be those out there who do relate to this very strongly. And for you who do relate to it, you will probably find this to be very important to your life. But the fact remains that either you relate to it or you don't relate to it, and either way is fine. For anyone who's having difficulty with what it is that I'm presenting in these podcasts, if you're interested, you might consider checking the two main talks on this website. If you go to the Listen Dropbox and scroll down to the heading Talks, that'll take you to the two main talks. One is titled An Overview of Spiritual Awakening, and the other is titled Acknowledging the Moment. And of those two talks, I would say the second one is probably the one to really explore. although they are companion pieces. So with that said, I was considering that for this particular podcast, let's just set aside all these notions of non-duality, and let's set aside all of the scientific research, and let's set aside the traditions of Buddhism and Taoism and all the rest of them, and just perhaps consider what it is we can say for ourselves about this moment, to consider from our own experience what existence is, like what actually is. If we were to talk about life, what actually is? And of course we would have to end up considering the happening of this moment, what we would call the happening of this moment. Because as far as our sense of existence goes, what else is there? The only real feeling we have of existing is the feeling that something is happening right now. Now, we would normally call that the happening of the moment, or a basic feeling of presence right here and now, or we might simply call it the happening of seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, and thinking. So just the feeling that something's occurring right now. And it would be a consideration of not so much our descriptions of it, but the actual event. Because actually we could drop any description of this moment, we could drop any labeling of this moment, we could drop any efforting in this moment, any effort to do anything, we could drop the effort to be aware, what we would call the effort to be aware. And there is still this very basic, what we might call a very basic happening of the moment, the actual physical event of the moment. Even if we don't call it anything, it wouldn't feel as though nothing was happening. It wouldn't feel as though everything disappeared. We can drop all the interpretations, all the descriptions, all the stories, and it still basically feels like something's happening in this moment. So, what is that? Like, what actually is in this moment? Now, if we consider this in relation to our usual stories, it may become obvious that we really have no way of saying what this is. When this first presented itself, there was no storyline that came along with it. So if I was speaking to a baby, or you were speaking to a baby that was 1 hour old, and you leaned over close to the baby's ear and you whispered in the baby's ear, what's going on right now? Like, what is this? What can you say about this happening right now? We all know the baby isn't going to say anything. The baby isn't even hearing a question. It seems obvious that for the baby, it's quite attentive, or it feels quite alert, or it looks quite alert to the happening of the moment. But there's no interpretation of this happening. It would be similar to us simply dropping all interpretation of this happening right now, the happening of this moment. So it would still basically feel as though something's happening, but there wouldn't be any storyline about it. And if we consider this, that's the way it is for everyone when this happening first makes itself obvious. there isn't even a story that says, oh, I just came out of the womb. I mean, we're not saying, oh, there's mommy, there's daddy, there's the doctor, and where do I find a cookie? There's no storyline. It's a totally perplexing happening, a puzzling event, a vibrant, what we might end up, you know, what we might point to as a vibrant, buzzing, swirling, pulsating happening. But even if we don't call it that, there's still that basic feeling of something happening. And in order for us to have any conversation about it with that baby, we have to teach the baby our storyline. We have to give the baby all the same labels that we use. We have to give the baby the same notions of relationships, among all the apparent things of the moment. We have to teach the baby our apparent viewpoint of existence. Now, if this baby was born in what we would call an English-speaking country, it has to be taught the storyline of an English-speaking person. If the baby was born in France, or the baby was born in Russia, or the baby was born in Ukraine, it would be given a different set of labels, and there would be a slightly different approach to life. You know, based on what we might call the various cultures that are existing in these various countries. So for any one of us, if we consider this, when this happening of this moment first presented itself, first made itself obvious, there was no storyline for it. It's a totally unexplained happening. And within our usual storylines, the story says that over a number of years, we're taught to label various aspects of this happening with certain words, certain sounds, certain symbols. So what are we getting in that supposed learning process? When we're taught to point to some aspect of this happening with a particular label, it doesn't really tell us what this is. It just points to that particular portion of this happening. So basically, these labels are pointing to a totally unexplained vibrancy, a happening, a dynamic, an action, a movement, a vital dance that we would call the happening of the moment. But those words just point to this happening. They never really explain what this happening is. And they can never explain what this happening is. Essentially, it's an absolutely mysterious action, movement, dance, pulsation, vibration, whatever word we use to point to it. It has no actual explanation. There's no way that we could possibly say what this truly is. The labels allow us to point to various portions of this totally unexplained occurrence, and we can, it seems that we can compare different aspects of this totally mysterious occurrence, and so we can say something, you'll call something a wall, and point to something else and call it a floor. And so we start to say, this is a wall and this is a floor, and that the floor is not the wall, and the wall is not the floor. But actually all this is ultimately we're pointing to a totally mysterious happening, an unexplainable happening. and simply saying, I'm going to call this portion of this unexplainable happening a wall, and I'm going to call this portion of an unexplainable happening a floor. But it always remains an unexplainable happening. So here we are right now. There is the feeling that something's happening. Another interesting aspect of this is that it always feels like the present moment. No one has ever experienced a past or a future. If we think about a past, it's quite obvious that those thoughts are occurring now. And that when that past, that supposed past, was presenting itself, that felt like now as well. And we can consider a future, but when we consider it, it's quite obvious that the thoughts about the future are thoughts that are occurring now. And that when that future eventually arrives, it will feel like now, like a present happening. So there's always just the feeling of this present happening. And right now, it feels like something's happening, what we would call the happening of this moment. So there isn't any way of ultimately saying what this happening is. That's quite obvious. It doesn't matter what we want to call it. We can call it consciousness, we can call it a body, we can call it a world, we can call it X, Y, Z, or we can call it Dweezeldop and Oodapoot and Fragamark. We can make up any sound and point to different aspects of it. But those sounds are never really going to tell us what this is. It's even the case that those sounds are not even going to tell us what these descriptions are. There's this happening that we call thoughts arising and stories arising and explanations for existence. The fact of the matter is, we don't even know what that is. That is also a totally unexplainable, mysterious happening. Now here's the other aspect, the other main aspect of this that's quite intriguing. What are you doing in this moment to make any of this happen? So there's this happening that we would call the world outside of you, and there's this happening that we would call the world inside of you. What are you doing right now to make any of it happen? Like as you sit here or stand here, or you're simply listening to this podcast, like what are you doing to make any of it happen? The process that you are, you're a living event, a dynamic process, an active functioning. Breath coming and going, moods changing, thoughts coming and going, heart beating, pulsation, vibration. What are you doing to make any of that happen? The process that you are, the movement that you are, the action that you are, what are you doing to make any of that happen? Even if you are supposedly doing something, the urge to do that, the urge that provoked whatever action you might be involved with at this moment. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, it's highly likely that you're not doing too much, but you might be driving or you might be walking and listening to this podcast. And the urge for you to participate in that action, the urge that provoked that action, isn't something that you created. You didn't create your body and your brain. You have no recollection of being something that didn't have a body and brain, something that had somehow some kind of control over existence. You don't have any recollection or memory of being somewhere other than existence itself, deciding to come into existence. to say that you do, that would be fantasy. So you don't have an experience of creating your body or your brain. And you don't have the experience that right now you're overseeing how the body and brain function. You're not overseeing the beating of the heart. And even if you don't put any effort into breathing, you're going to breathe. You don't make the pulsations and vibrations of the body occur. You're not making your autoimmune system work. And with the brain, you're not overseeing the firing of all the neurons in the brain cells. You're not causing the electrochemical firing of the brain cells that give rise to the next apparent thought or the next apparent mood. In fact, if you simply sit here and make no effort at all, the process that we call the happening of the moment, the process that we call our process, all of that goes on happening. And even if we're not attempting to make any effort whatsoever, at some point there are going to be interests and urges and needs that arise that will provoke certain actions. Even if you wanted to sit here for the rest of your life, you wouldn't be able to do it, because at some point your apparent body would become so uncomfortable. This mysterious happening would become what we call so uncomfortable that it would provoke an action, what we would call an action from you, to move in order to alleviate that discomfort, that pain. So without getting into any extravagant explanation of existence, without getting into the world of science with all of its storylines, or the world of religion with all of its storylines, or the world of philosophy and all of its storylines, or the world of non-duality and all of its bullshit storylines. These two simple facts about this moment, if we're interested, it becomes pretty obvious that we really don't ultimately have any way of saying what this is, and we're not making any of it happen. We don't make ourselves happen, so we're not making anything else happen. How would we be influencing the movement of this moment if the urge to influence it, the urge to do something about it, is not our creation? The urge arises as an expression of the movement of this moment. As Schopenhauer, well, let's forget Schopenhauer today. I said we're just going to stick with what we can consider on our own, from our own experience. So we have this situation. We all feel as though something's happening right now. The basic fact is that when this first presented itself, there was no storyline about it. And the basic fact is that whatever storyline we have simply points to different portions of this mysterious happening. And it seems as though we're comparing different portions of this mysterious happening, and we're saying one part of it is physical and another part of it is mental and another part of it is spiritual and another part of it is psychological. And yet the fact of the matter is we don't have a clue as to what any of this actually is. We're just sitting here playing mental games, what we might call mental games, pointing to different portions of this absolutely mysterious happening, comparing the portions, getting some feeling that one portion is very different from another portion, and then believing that we somehow know what all of this is, when in fact we don't know what all of this is. We don't know what any of this is. And it's also the case that we're not really making any of this happen. We don't create our body and brain. We're not creating the universe. We don't have the feeling that we're creating the universe or ruling the universe. We don't have the impression that we created our body and brain. We would usually say that all of this is the expression of nature, the expression of the universe. Even the urges that we have to approach life in a certain way is an expression of this totally mysterious happening. They're not our creation. One person has an urge to play the piano. Another person has an urge to have a family. Another person has an urge to start a business. Now, you don't get to decide what urges you're going to have. We have basic needs. We have a need to eat in order to what we call survive. We have a need to go to the toilet every day. We have a need for a certain amount of social contact. Or maybe we have a need to avoid certain social contacts. We don't get to decide what those needs are going to be. We would say that they're simply an expression of nature. So what does that mean? It's an expression of this totally mysterious happening. The whole process that we are is an expression of this totally mysterious happening, an expression of nature, the universe, the cosmos. These words just pointing to this totally mysterious happening of this moment. There isn't any other happening. No, there isn't any experience of any other happening. It's always just the happening of this moment. Now, for most of us who are involved with this podcast at this moment, we're probably adults. And by that, I mean, in many countries, it's just considered that if you're over the age of 18, you would be considered legally adult. But by that time, we've lived life. We've apparently lived life to a certain degree. This mysterious happening has been expressing itself for a certain amount of time, what we would consider to be a certain amount of time, even though all we ever experience is what we would call the happening of the present moment, we have this story of a long period of time. And in that long period of time, we may have the impression that everything is changing. Because within our usual storylines, this becomes perhaps the most obvious fact of existence. That whatever this is, whatever this happening is, it's always changing. Every apparent thing, every apparent form that we point to in this happening is changing. Some are changing very slowly, but we would consider that they're growing older. So a house is not obviously changing in this immediate moment. However, within our usual storylines, within what we would call our experience of existence, our experience of life, we all have the impression that a house is growing older. And we don't have the impression that it's going to stay brand new for 500 years or 1,000 years and then grow incredibly old overnight. We don't have the impression that it doesn't change for 500 years and then it immediately, overnight, looks like a 500-year-old building. We have the impression that it grows old gradually. And if we consider it, we have the impression that it's growing older right now, even though we can't see all of the minute changes that are taking place. It is our general impression that it's growing older now. We have the impression that mountains change and that they're growing older now. We have the impression that the universe itself is changing, that planets are growing older. We have the impression that certain planets are newborn and other planets are fading out of existence. So everyone's general sense of life, once it's expressed itself for what we might call a long period of time, everyone's general impression of existence is that everything in existence is changing. Our so-called awareness of the moment is changing. One moment we call it seeing, the next moment we call it hearing, the next moment we call it touching, the next moment we call it tasting. We don't actually have an experience of something that's separate from this happening that we call awareness. We don't have the feeling that there's something separate from the seeing, having the seeing. The seeing is the awareness. We don't have the impression there's some awareness separate from the hearing, separate from the touching, separate from the tasting, separate from the smelling. We don't have the feeling that there's something separate from that knowing, what we would call this knowing of the moment. We don't have the feeling that there's some invisible something separate from this happening that we call the knowing, that we call the awareness. There's just the happening that we call awareness or knowing. The seeing, the hearing, the touching, the tasting, the smelling. The basic awareness of the moment. And that's always changing. One moment we call it seeing, the next moment we call it hearing, the next moment we call it touching. It's always got this shift in predominance. One so-called sense pushing itself forward. But of course, remember, all of these words simply point to this happening that we'll never be able to say what it is. There's no way of ever being able to say what this actually is, but we have all these words that point to these various aspects of this totally mysterious, unexplainable happening. And once again, it becomes obvious over apparent time that everything in this happening, every apparent expression of this happening is changing in some way. Some of it is changing very, very slowly, like the aging of a planet. And other aspects are changing very, very quickly, like your mood or your thoughts or the little twinges of pain when you're sitting very quietly and very still for long periods of time. And then there's an automatic shift to alleviate that pain. And all of it is shifting and dancing, moving and shifting and dancing. This happening has no particular form. It has no stable form. Now, this would also mean that this happening is an ever creative dance. It's ever new, ever fresh in each moment in its expression. And if we consider this further in our so-called experience of this happening, no two expressions of this happening are ever identical. No two leaves on any tree are ever identical. No two trees are identical. No two snowflakes are identical. Scientists will point out, well, okay, let's forget science. If we truly examine whatever it is we're experiencing in the moment, we will discover that no two expressions of the moment are ever identical. The mood we're in right now, that's shifting. The thought that's occurring right now, that's shifting. Maybe there isn't any thought in this moment, and a thought will arise. Maybe there is a thought, and that thought will fade away and move on to another apparent thought. Our whole sense of existence, our whole impression of the happening of this moment is that it's moving and shifting and dancing in some way. If it's dark, it's going to be light at some point. If it's warm, it's going to be cool at some point. If it's warm and it's going to continue to be warm, the intensity of that warmth varies from time to time. If it's summer, it's going to be winter. If it's winter, it's going to be summer. If we're angry in this moment, wait a while. That's going to fade away. It's going to be a different mood. If we're calm in this moment, wait a while. That's going to fade away. It will be some other mood at some point. Maybe we've never considered this before, but if we begin to consider it, we may come to realize that every one of us has the impression that everything in existence, this happening, this totally mysterious happening of this moment, everything that this is, it's always changing. And we don't make the change occur. How many of us have the experience that we've been in a certain situation in life, something that we thought was really wonderful, and we wanted it to stay exactly that way forever. But of course it doesn't. The good times fade away. Bad times arise. And then we start thinking that the bad times are going to be there forever, but the bad times fade away and good times come back. These apparent identifiable forms, whether it's a very ethereal form that we would call a mood, or a more concrete form that we might call a body or a mountain, we all have the impression that these apparent forms have a beginning and an aging, or a changing over an apparent lifetime, and then a fading away. If we consider this to some degree, it may become obvious that we have the impression that whatever this happening is, right now, this happening, whatever this is, it's not standing still. It's a creative, dynamic, active function of some kind, moving and shifting and dancing. That's our general impression of it. What is it? There's no way of saying what it is, but whatever it is, it never stands still. There isn't any aspect of it that's standing still. It's somehow the impression that we're left with is that it's moving and shifting and changing all aspects. The process that we are doesn't even have any particular form. Whatever process we feel we are, that's always moving and shifting and changing. If we attempt to define it in this moment, by the time we finish defining it, it's already moved on. If we attempt to define the mood we're in this moment, or define the thought we're having in this moment, even the attempt to define the happening of this moment is a moving, shifting event. The definition flows as it grows. It moves and shifts and changes as there is this contemplation of how to define the moment. So for every so-called person, the happening of this moment is an ever-shifting event, a vital dynamic. And one way of acknowledging this is how many of us have spent our lives trying to get this happening to be something in particular. We want to have only good thoughts. We want to only see pleasant things. We want to have only pleasant moods. We never want to be angry or confused or frightened or anxious. And no matter how much we've tried to hold this happening in place, it moves on to something else. It has no particular form. So basically our entire experience of whatever this is that it has no particular form. So in this consideration, our most basic consideration of what we would call existence, our life, the sense of being, there are some very obvious points here. There's no way of saying ultimately what this is. It's simply happening spontaneously. It occurs all on its own, all of itself. It simply happens. Even the happening that we are simply occurs. We're not causing our own happening. If we simply rest in this moment and make no effort to do anything, it still feels like there's the happening of the moment. It still feels like there's this happening that we call our process. We're not making it happen. If we look at our own supposed life, the storylines that we have about it, we may have had urges to move through life in a certain direction, but we didn't decide to have those particular urges. Other people are moving in a different direction through life because they have different urges. We have classifications for business people, athletes, actors, philosophers, scientists, mothers and fathers, and none of them are deciding to be that particular expression. It's the only urge they are. So it becomes obvious there's no thing. There's no experience of anything making any of this happen. It's simply happening. And the entire impression of this happening is that it's an action. It's a movement. Even the things that seem to be sitting very still, we have the impression that they're growing older. They're aging. They will eventually fade away. So even that sitting still is an action. Even that most stable rock, we have the impression through all of our storylines and everyone's intense investigation of existence, we have the impression that everything's growing older. We have old mountain ranges, old planets. We have solar systems blipping out of existence. We have thoughts arising and changing and fading away, moods arising and changing and fading away, bodies arising and changing and fading away. It doesn't matter at what apparent level we investigate this happening. It doesn't matter if we're an astronomer or a homekeeper, a housekeeper. If we explore our life, we discover that it's a movement, an action, a vibrant event, a dynamic functioning. An ever-creative event. No two snowflakes are identical. No two leaves are identical. No two people are identical. No two moments are identical. Again, if we look into our usual storylines, we often hear that history repeats itself, but historians would never say that history repeats itself. Because the people who would study history, if they examine history, they realize that history never repeats itself. It often approximates itself. It looks like it's repeating itself in certain cycles, but it never repeats itself exactly. It's always moving on to something else, something slightly different. So whatever this is, it has no particular form. It's an action, a movement, a functioning of some kind, a dynamic functioning, occurring spontaneously. Now, I'm not asking you to get into some magical, mystical state of mind to acknowledge this. I'm asking you to simply acknowledge what your actual experience of life is. Your most basic sense of the happening of this moment. Now, we're not even dealing with what we might call a truth. Because ultimately, it's quite obvious, there's no way of saying what any of this actually is. We don't know what it is. So this is more an acknowledgement of what it isn't. So it isn't something explainable. It isn't something that someone is doing. It isn't something that has a form. There's no way of saying what it is. But it isn't something explainable. It isn't something that someone is doing. And it isn't something that has any particular form. It's always apparently expressing itself in a slightly different way. And there isn't anything that's making, there isn't any obvious thing, there isn't anything experienced that is making this change occur. Whatever this happening of this moment is, it simply has no particular form. And in that fact, that it has no particular form, it does not ever express itself in the same way twice. It seems to express millions of apparent people, but it never expresses two identical people. It seems to express multi-millions of snowflakes, but scientists are unable to discover, or human beings are unable to discover two identical snowflakes. The moment, this, the happening of what we would call this moment, whatever it seems to be right now is shifting. The mood you're in, the thought you're having, your body's aging, the circumstances around you are shifting. So now, if we were to attempt to describe the happening of this moment, after we acknowledge these most basic facts, then how would we describe it? There is this sense of presence right now. This vibrant happening, this vibrant, moving, shifting, dancing event of this moment. There's no way of saying what it is. Even if we drop all attempts to say what it is, it still feels like there's this vital happening that doesn't have a description. So here there is this sense of presence, this vital happening, this vibrant eventing, functioning, occurrence. There's no possible way to say what it is. It's simply happening spontaneously, automatically. It's a moving, shifting, dancing event, ever creative, always expressing some new apparent form, vibrant, ever fresh, ever new. So something new arising from whatever it seems to be that's old and fading away, like a phoenix ever renewing itself. In the flame of action, the flame of movement, the dance of life, the vibrant, vital dance of this happening. This is our shared experience. If we were to simply assess the happening of life in perhaps its simplest terms, this is our common experience. This is what we all apparently share, that we don't know what's happening right now. It has no particular form. There isn't any experience of anything making it happen. It simply happens. It simply expresses itself. It's ever creative, ever new. It has no particular form. If we try to hold it in place, we'll only be frustrated because it's moving on to some new expression. So this is what we're dealing with. In these descriptions of existence, we can say that there's no true way of saying what exactly is going on here. But if we are to offer our own impression, if we were to acknowledge what this happening, how this happening actually presents itself, it's our common experience, our common sense of this, that there's no fundamental way of saying what any of it actually is. That we're not influencing it in any way. We're not causing it happen. We're not influencing it because the very urge to do anything about life is an expression of life. The very urge to do something about this mysterious happening of this moment is an expression of this happening of this moment. We don't exist as something apart from it. The whole process that we are is also this totally unexplainable happening, simply happening the way it happens. Whatever it is, it's ever creative in its occurrence, ever new, ever fresh. It has no particular form. It's moving on to something that's different in each moment. The differences may be very subtle, almost unnoticeable, but the fact of the matter is that no two moments are ever identical. And it never repeats itself. And there's no way of saying ultimately what's coming, because what's coming is something that has not been before. It's ever creative. So, let's not talk about reality. Let's not talk about truth. Let's talk about facts. And I use the word fact as an aspect of existence that we can all acknowledge. If we were to really acknowledge what our most direct sense of life is, our most direct sense of this happening of this moment, it would be the acknowledgement of these facts that I've been pointing to. Ultimately, there's no way of saying what this is, so we're not going to talk about a truth. We're not going to talk about some abstract notion of reality. We're just going to talk about the happening of this moment, whatever this is, and everyone's general impression of it. Every so-called person's general impression of it. But of course, there's no way of saying what a so-called person is. We have a label, person, but that label just points to a mysterious happening that's simply happening in an ever creative way. So we're just considering the general impression of existence that every so-called person has. It's a very simple acknowledgement. It's an acknowledgement of our most basic sense of existence. There's just this, whatever this is, happening in whatever way it happens. Now, I'm going to say outright that the core teaching of all of the great spiritual traditions, the core teaching of all scientific inquiry, the core teaching of the great philosophies of existence are pointing to these same basic facts. There is some similar agreement that there's no way of ultimately saying whatever this is. There's no one making it happen. That we don't really truly exist as anything apart from this mysterious happening. We also are this mysterious happening, simply happening. And that it's ever creative, ever new, ever fresh. That all that basically exists is this totally unexplainable happening. We could call it the universe. We could call it God. We could call it anything. Because the label simply points to a totally mysterious happening. It has no particular form. It doesn't really matter how many forms come and go. The mysterious happening seems to go on and on and on. The happening that has no form seems to go on and on and on. The occurrence that we call the universe, we say it contains all these various forms. Doesn't really matter how many forms come and go. The expression of the universe, and the word universe simply means undivided turning. So it's this one great happening, one great movement, undivided turning. Whatever that is, that seems to go on and on and on. Everybody has the impression that it goes on and on and on. It doesn't matter how many thoughts you're trying to hang on to in this moment. They come and go. But there's this ongoing sense that there is this dynamic, this shifting. It doesn't matter how much we think in terms of bodies coming and going or even the sense of existence disappearing at night. We call it deep sleep. It doesn't matter how much of a sense we have that all of this is shifting. The event, the happening of life seems to go on. This basic moving, shifting event, this happening, this dynamic function seems to go on. And there's no way to say what it is. There's no way to describe it as any particular form. There's no one making it happen. There isn't even anyone making their own process happen. We might have an urge to make something happen. In our usual storylines or descriptions of our life, we might have an urge to do something. We might have an urge to try to influence something. But that urge is an expression of this happening, this totally mysterious happening. It's not the urge of something that exists separate from the happening. So how would we possibly influence the happening of this moment? If everything we are is an expression of the happening of this moment, the urge that arises to do something is not our creation. It simply arises as an expression of this happening of this moment. It happens spontaneously, and then if that urge provokes an action, the only way that we can apparently function in that action is on the abilities and lack of abilities that we have, and we don't create our abilities or lack of abilities. If we don't have the ability to be an Olympic athlete, it doesn't really matter how much we want to be an Olympic athlete. It's not going to happen. So we have this totally unexplainable happening of this moment, simply happening spontaneously. It has no particular form. So if it's happening spontaneously, it has its own driving force. It's a living event, a creative dynamic, an active functioning, a happening that will never be definable. It will never be arriving at any place in particular. It will always be this flowing. And we're not making it flow. We're not causing it to happen the way it happens. We're part of the happening. So if we, you know, if the entire world sat down, if the entire world had an interest in considering any of this, and we all sat down to consider what our most basic sense of existence is, these would be the points that we're acknowledging. These would be the points that that the majority of us would ultimately acknowledge. And how can I say that? Because I've read a lot of the world's, what's considered to be a lot of the world's great literature on science, philosophy, religion. And these are the core points of what's considered to be our great literature on existence, our great observations of existence. And lo and behold, it's also my most basic impression of the happening of this moment. And it's not coming from some magical, mystical state. It's not. This acknowledgement is not coming from some spiritual practice. It's a simple acknowledgement of what my supposed experience of life actually is, what my actual experience of this moment is. It's no different than if someone told me, if you go down to the end of this street, this particular street, you will find a house. So you go down to the end of the street, either there's a house there or there isn't a house there. And in the same way, I'm saying if we all sit down to acknowledge what our most basic impression of life is, the most basic impression of existence, the happening of this moment, because that's the only existence we have. For each of us, the only sense of existing we have is the feeling that something is happening right now. What actually is this? What can we actually say about it? So in this very simple, direct acknowledgement of what actually is in this moment, what everyone's impression of what is in this moment, we acknowledge these few basic facts. However, in our apparent day-to-day life, we don't acknowledge these facts. We don't acknowledge that there's no way to explain what's happening in this moment. We don't acknowledge that there's no way of saying what actually is. Instead, We focus very much on our descriptions of existence, and everyone runs around claiming that their particular description of existence is true. It's also the case that we don't acknowledge that all of this is happening spontaneously. Instead, we have the impression that we're making it happen. We have the impression, we don't even bother to consider whether we're making ourselves happen. We just assume that we're making ourselves happen. And in that, we assume that we're making everything else happen too. It's also the case that we don't acknowledge that everything is changing, that life has no particular form, because we run around constantly trying to hold it still. We want to arrive at one thought about existence, one pleasant understanding of existence, and have that be our sense of existence. But our thoughts move and shift and dance. One day they seem so absolutely certain, another day they seem so absolutely uncertain. One day they seem so absolutely clear, another day they seem so absolutely vague. Yet we run around hoping that they're going to arrive at one particular outcome. We run around hoping that we think we're going to make our life happier by cultivating pleasant experiences and maintaining those pleasant experiences. We think that somehow our happiness will grow by gaining control over pleasure and making pleasure stay. We don't acknowledge the fact that existence has no particular form, that whatever exists in the moment is changing or aging and will fade away. And that goes for our pleasant experiences too. We don't acknowledge that life has this moving, shifting quality. It has no particular form, that it's, or if we want to say, we want to describe it, we don't acknowledge that it's a dynamic movement, an action that's always expressing itself in a slightly different way or a radically different way from moment to moment. Instead, we run around trying to hold everything still. I want to have only pleasant sights, pleasant sounds, pleasant touches, pleasant tastes, pleasant smells, pleasant thoughts, pleasant moods, a pleasant sense of self. I don't ever want to experience anxiety or fear, or I don't want any of that. I want it all to be pleasant. And because I believe I'm in charge, because I believe I'm in control, I'm going to make that happen. And then when it doesn't happen, it's, oh, what's wrong with me? I can't get life to be pleasant all the time. No matter how much I try to understand it, I never understand it. Oh, woe is me, poor me. We're ignoring our most basic sense of existence. There isn't any explanation for it. We're not making it happen. It has no particular form. It's not going to stand still at some point. It's not going to arrive somewhere and stay that way. So, what's going on here? Like, what is it? Like, why are we ignoring our most basic experience of existing to live in these fantasies? When we can see that when we can hear from others who have researched snowflakes, that there are no two snowflakes that are identical. If we want to examine the leaves on a tree, we can discover that each and every leaf is different. If we know that no two summers are identical, no two days are identical, no two moments are identical, why do we run around thinking that human beings are all supposed to match some idealized notion of what a human being is? instead of acknowledging the wonder of the entire range of human expression, instead of marveling at the fact that this is an ever-creative event and no two human beings are identical or will ever be able to be identical, why is it, instead of marveling at that, we sit around thinking that everybody's supposed to be the same? If we were a truly realized human being, a true human being would have these spiritual aspects. And of course, nobody ever matches that description of a human being. Not even any of the great spiritual founders of all of the spiritual traditions ever matched that idealized notion of a human being. I mean, there are people running around saying, it's not a human being's nature to ever be angry. And yet, Christ got angry, the Buddha got angry, Jiddu Krishnamurti got angry, Eugene Krishnamurti got angry. Like, every supposed enlightened being got angry after their enlightenment. So what's going on here? Like, what's happening here? Like, is this of any interest to you? The fact that your most basic impression of existence is that there's no way of saying ultimately what this is. It's all simply happening spontaneously. It's ever creative, ever dynamic. It has its own driving force. We aren't the driving force of existence. Our entire expression is a movement of that driving force. It's not something we'll ever identify. It's simply occurring. It's just this happening of this moment, happening the way it happens. Yet we spend our time, even though this is our most basic sense of existence, if we were to set aside everyone else's story of existence, and we were to acknowledge these few basic points about existence, this is our most basic sense of existence. And yet we spend our time focusing on notions that are in direct contradiction to these basic points, these basic acknowledgments. We don't acknowledge that it's unexplainable. Instead, we spend all of our time hoping that we're going to figure life out with storylines, that we're going to come to some reality, some truth about existence. We don't acknowledge that it's simply happening spontaneously, including our apparent process, whatever we think we are, the movement and dance that we are. We don't acknowledge that that's simply a mysterious happening expressing itself. It has its own innate, built-in driving force. It is movement. We're not a thing. We've never been the same from moment to moment. We're a movement, an action, a function. We don't exist as some invisible thing separate from this movement, this action, this function. We are this happening, simply happening in whatever way it happens. But we don't acknowledge that. Instead, we have a story that we exist as some invisible thing living in our head, and that invisible thing exists totally separate from the movement of nature. It exists totally separate from the movement of existence itself, and we direct existence. We direct nature. Does that make sense to anybody? Like, why are we doing that? If we sit down to examine the situation from our own experience, it becomes obvious that that's not true. We don't acknowledge that it has no particular form. We don't acknowledge that it's a creative, dynamic, moving, shifting event, and that we don't ultimately know what's coming. Instead, we spend our time focusing on notions that, oh yes, I know exactly what life is. It's this. And then we describe some particular situation, And if it's pleasant, if we say, wow, it's a really pleasant situation, we immediately say, I want it to stay exactly that way. I don't want it to change. Why are we doing that if our most basic sense of existence is that it has no actual form? And so what happens? We want pleasant experiences to stay exactly the way they are, and they change because there isn't any actual form there. The happening of life is moving and shifting and expressing itself in any number of ways, but we don't want it to do that, and so we weep and we wail, oh, I lost that pleasant experience. I lost that particular relationship. I lost that particular job, and oh, the world economy is going to hell, and human relationship is falling apart. And instead of acknowledging that existence expresses itself in all of these various ways, that all of it is the natural expression of existence, we start saying that the unhappy things aren't a natural expression of existence. And then we start saying, well, what's wrong with me because I experience unhappiness? Or I experience fear, like I shouldn't experience fear. I mean, here's another thing. We don't acknowledge that there's no way of saying what any of this is, so there's no way of saying what any of this should be. We don't have any ultimate say in what it's how it's going to express itself. And yet we walk around saying, oh, I know exactly what it's supposed to be. Human beings are supposed to be kind. They're supposed to be gentle. They're supposed to be clear all the time. They're supposed to be feeling this incredible spiritual bliss all the time, if they were truly developed. Why do we live in those fantasies? We focus on those fantasies and then we run around saying, oh, but it's not that, so I failed somehow. Somehow it's just not what I want it to be, and it's not what it should be. And why do we do that? If we examine the situation, it's very simple to acknowledge a few basic facts in our common experience of existence. And then we live in storylines that attempt to deny those facts. We can acknowledge that we don't have any tool for saying what any of this actually is, yet we run around constantly wanting to say what it is, constantly thinking that our storylines are somehow a truth, that they are telling us what actually is. So we run around with these labels that somebody else taught us to bark, and then we run around focusing on forms. We point to these various apparent forms, which ultimately don't actually exist, because we can acknowledge that in our experience, all forms are changing. All the forms, whether it's a thought or a mood or a body or a planet, they will grow old and they will fade away. Because the big happening of existence, whatever this is, has no particular form. Instead of acknowledging all of this, we run around with these labels that somebody taught us to bark, and we point to these forms that seem to exist, and we say that's a true description of existence, that we know what this is. It's not true. Instead of acknowledging that we, whatever process we think we are, that we are also this totally unexplainable happening, simply happening spontaneously, automatically, happening in whatever way it happens. Instead of acknowledging that, we run around in stories of we're in control, we make the universe happen. Instead of acknowledging that whatever we seem to be, we're also an expression of nature. We're also the dance of the universe. We run around with a storyline that says we're some invisible thing living in our head that exists somewhere other than the movement of nature. It exists somewhere outside the movement of nature, somewhere outside the laws of the universe. And we're saying that we make the universe happen. We make it happen in a certain way. instead of acknowledging that every bit of experience that we have about existence, that it's moving and shifting and changing, that this so-called happening has no particular form. We run around with ideas that it should have a certain form, that we're going to get it to arrive at some particular point and it's never going to change after that. If we were truly mature, truly enlightened, truly realized, that we could get our life to some point of perfection, that we would make that happen because we're in charge and we can hold life still. We can control it. We run around focusing on those notions, and then what happens? We start weeping and wailing and crying because it doesn't seem like we're in control, or we always seem to fail in holding things in place. And it becomes something that we don't want. I don't want life to be frightening in certain situations. I don't want life to be confusing in certain situations. So where's our suffering coming from? Where's our mental anguish coming from? Is it coming from, is it coming from the facts of existence? Or is it coming from these delusions about existence? Oh, I want it to have a certain form, but I can't hold it in place. And I want to be in control, but I don't seem to get absolute control. And I want to know what it is, but my ideas never seem to be quite clear. They always seem to be changing. Anyway, I mean, this is all just for your consideration. I'm not saying you're ultimately going to be able to do anything with this. But I am saying that if you are interested in considering what your actual experience of life is, you might find that you're not really living according to your actual experience. You're living in what we might call some kind of delusion. Now, I'm not saying you're even going to be able to decide to have an interest in this, because as I pointed out in the beginning, I'm not saying this is the one true way of looking at existence. I'm saying this is one of the mysterious expressions of existence. This itself, what's being expressed right here, right now, what seems to be Daryl giving this particular perspective or presenting, pointing to this particular expression of existence, I'm saying there's no way of saying what this is either. The storyline that I'm somebody who's come to a certain view of existence and I'm presenting this view of existence for others who might relate to it, that's a fantasy too. There's no way of saying what this is ultimately. And this sense of existence, there's no way of saying what this is. All of these stories about enlightenment and non-duality, and that's all bullshit. This is a totally mysterious happening, simply happening the way it's happening. It has its own driving force, its own compulsion. Whatever this is right now, whatever you would say is me doing something in this moment, whatever it seems to be that I'm doing in this moment, this is simply the compulsive drive of something that can't be explained. Now, in these descriptions that aren't any actual truth, we come up with stories that, oh, this is a human being with a certain perspective on existence, and he's presenting this certain perspective on existence, and there are other human beings that will be able to relate to it. And that's all we can say about it. It's not saying that I'm a human being that can teach another human being to have this sense of existence. This is not teachable. Apparent me is simply expressed in this way, and there will be other apparent beings, human beings, that either relate to this expression or they don't relate to this expression. This happening of this moment expresses itself in endless variety, in these apparent forms that exist in this moment, even though we know that ultimately these forms are changing. These apparent forms are moving and shifting and changing ultimately. Whatever this happening is, it never expresses itself twice in identical forms. No two moments are identical. No two objects are identical. It's an ever-creative event. And it's the same with our apparent sense of existence. Everyone has a different sense of existence. Now, within all of this expression, we can identify certain general patterns, even though there's no actual pattern there. Each and every person is unique. Each and every person is different. There are certain apparent expressions that are similar. And so we point to those similarities and we say those people have this particular sense of existence. They don't give themselves that sense of existence. So what's being expressed here and now, whatever this is, what we might call a certain perspective on existence, is not the one true way for everyone to look at existence or for everyone to relate to existence. It's simply one of life's mysterious expressions, and there will be other apparent people who will have a similar sense of existence. And in that, they may also have the sense, they may also apparently realize that they're not acknowledging their most basic impression of existence. They're not living according to their actual experience. Instead, they're focusing on all kinds of fantasies that attempt to contradict the movement of life. And in that contradiction, they're endlessly frustrated. They're wanting life to be a certain way, and it never is that way. They're basically asking life to be something that it's not. They're basically asking life to give them something that it can't possibly give them. And then they weep and they wail because they're asking for something that's impossible. It may be that there will be certain apparent people who have that sense of existence and they come to realize that there is this contradiction in how they're living and what their actual sense is. What they're focusing on in their daily life and what their actual basic sense of existence is. And in that, there will seem to be an adjustment so that the fantasies of interpretation, the fantasies of control, the fantasies of influence will fade away to some degree. There's no way, in each person it's unique. There's no way of saying the exact result of this kind of consideration. But for those who relate to it, there will be some fading of the fantasy. That's not saying that life will then be pain-free. Because the natural expression of existence is all manner of things. It's not just what we call pleasure. It's not just what we call clarity. It's not just what we call joy. So anyway, all of this is simply for your consideration. I'm not saying there's anything that you can choose to do with this. You either relate to it or you don't relate to it. If you relate to it, great. Some interesting things may occur if you relate to this kind of consideration. If you don't relate to it, That's great. Life is expressing you in some other way. There will be other apparent things that are of major interest to you. And you will be focusing on those and considering those. And that's wonderful. Let me simply say that if I was to acknowledge, if this process that you would call me is to acknowledge what's happening in this moment, the most I could simply say is there's just this happening in whatever way it's happening. But there's no way of saying what this is. There's no evidence of anything making any of it happen. There's nothing in particular that it will ever be. It has no particular form. Now, some people will say, oh, that's so bleak. You know, you're saying we have no control and there is no self and we're not going to get what we want. Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there's this totally magical, mystical dance of the moment. Like if I was forced to say something about it, I'm left with the totally magical, mystical dance of this moment, and it expresses every conceivable nuance of existence, the joys, the sorrows, the clarities, the confusions, the adventures, the traumas, it's this rich tapestry of existence. It's filled with surprises. It's filled with challenges. Nothing can ultimately harm it. There is only this totally unexplainable dance. It never seems to disappear. How old is existence? When is existence going to disappear? I mean, existence itself has the sense of being and non-being, but all of that's encompassed in generally what we would call existence, the movement of existence, the dance of existence. There's no way of saying anything about that, the beginning or ending of that. There's no way of saying what it is, but it's this full and vibrant and rich and surprising and challenging dance that can never be explained. It contains every conceivable nuance of movement. The people that are nice, the people that are not so nice, the people that are frightened, the people that are responding to the fear, the people that are not frightened in particular moments, the people that are confident in certain situations, the arising of all external circumstance and the arising of all supposed internal responses to those circumstances. All of it, every conceivable nuance, every rich, amazing movement of what we call emotion and thought and human existence and human challenge and human accomplishment, all of that is this totally unexplainable happening with its own intrinsic driving force. And then maybe if we want, you know, if I could maybe end with one statement from a spiritual tradition, the one that comes up is the Taoist statement that says, a sage lives a life of contentment, simply awaiting the decrees of heaven. So the decrees of heaven are simply the driving force of this totally unexplainable happening of this moment. This is heaven. Heaven is not some place of eternal bliss. Heaven is this totally unexplainable place. Even the notion of place is ridiculous. It's just this, whatever this is. It has its own driving force, its own innate expression. No one's making that happen. There's no human being that's influencing that. Every apparent human being is an expression. Is that movement? It's an expression of that. is that driving force, that driving movement, this moving, shifting, dancing, mysterious happening. Now, for some of you, it may seem terrible that, you know, a consideration that we don't have ultimate control, but it's never been the case that we've had ultimate control, and the idea that we have ultimate control brings you nothing but suffering. Oh, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't expressed myself totally yet. I haven't perfected myself yet. When is it going to happen? When is it going to arrive? When am I going to get to that point? How am I going to be able to make myself get to that point? You're not. Fortunately, whatever this is, it presents some amazingly beautiful, poetic, beatific, blissful moments, along with moments that aren't so poetic, aren't so beatific, and are really, we would consider them quite terrible. But all of them are the natural dance of whatever this is. So again, all of this is simply for your consideration. If you relate to it, that's great. If you don't relate to it, that's also great. Maybe you might consider dumping all the notions of science and dumping all of the notions of spirituality and dumping all the notions of non-duality and dumping all of the notions of philosophy, and maybe just sit down and consider what your actual experience of life actually is before you get into all of these other storylines, if it's of some interest to you. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. I hope life gives you nothing but good things over the coming month. However, I know it's going to be a mixed bag of things. So until next time, take care. Bye.